Hey, welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 46. All right, lot to go over before we get to the Bible. Yeah, so my website was indeed shut down by terrorists. No, not really. They say that it was hacked or something. Like, I got this email from the provider, or whatever the hell, the web space thing, domain person. I don't know what that is. But anyway, and said that my web space had been sending out too much spam, which doesn't make any sense because I don't send out anything. So I'm not sure if it was like some weird... Because I get a lot of spam on the stupid WordPress, and then, like, the website will email me whenever I get that spam. So I still don't know. The point is, I don't know if, like, it was really hacked or not, but they did, like, a little investigation, and they said that it was hacked and that I had to get rid of these certain files, which I haven't done, but I will have to do before I post this, I think. Although it looks like the site is back up, but it, like, parts of it don't work, so. So, there's that. Yeah, I appreciate somebody gave me a review and commented about the site being down, and I totally appreciate the review, but I don't want people to think the site is still down when it's back up. You know, it was back up, like, right after that was posted. And then people might just look at that review and say, like, oh, well, okay, guess it's down. So thanks, but I want to issue a little challenge to all the millions out there to find out who my biggest fan is. If somebody could just go and write a review, like, right now that says, oh, nope, the site's back up or something, just so the last one isn't one that says the site's down, that would be great. And... whoever's the first to do it, I will give a little $1 million. No, I don't know. I don't have anything to give you because I don't, you know, it's not like this podcast is, you know, all my podcast money is tied up in overseas accounts and stuff. So I can't, you know, I could write at you an IOU or something, but no, I'll give you a little shout out or something. I don't know. I'll be nice to you for a day if I bump into you. So yeah, there's that. Please do that. And I appreciate it. And I don't want to, thanks to the person who wrote that review and gave me, I think they gave me 5 stars. So that's, I appreciate that. But, yeah, just, you know, do a little review and, make a note that it's not down. Okay. So, the Bible has been getting really, really craptastic lately, but this freaking, oh my gosh, today's reading is so good. It's so good. It's the best. It's Moses is finally redeeming himself. And I, I don't know anybody who's new to the podcast. Maybe I need to say this. It's not good as in, like, you know, like it's actually good. Like the, you'll never catch me saying that about the Bible because it's terrible. Like, I don't mean that the Bible, like Moses, you know, a new listener might have thought, like, oh, wow, so maybe Moses wrote something compelling today. No, he didn't. Moses is an idiot. He never wrote anything good, and it's terrible. So when I say it's really good, what I mean is that it's the most awesome thing to make fun of ever today. It's so good. It might be one of the best ones I've had in a while. So that's a lot to live up to, so you better stay tuned. I don't know. All right. I think that might be it for the announcements. Yeah, I think that's it. So, Deuteronomy 20. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither ye be terrified because of them. For the Lord, your God, is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And, man, talk about giving people an out, you know, like, oh, man. Oh, I just remembered. Oh, no, I totally didn't dedicate my house. Oh, that was the last thing. Oh, I had it all. I have it written down. It's in my pocket right here. Oh, I didn't dedicate my house before I left. Oh, man. Oh, stupid me. Oh, I am so in this battle, you guys. I am so ready to go just kick some horse butt and face all the danger with you guys and everything. But stupid. It's like sometimes the Lord gives you commandments that they're tough to follow, but you just got to follow them. Like if he says I got to go back and dedicate my house, man. And then there's part where he goes like a little too far. You know, he's like, oh, man, are you sure I can't, like, fudge some paperwork or, you know, something? I'm sure, you know, just this once, it's not going to matter. And the commander's like, well, actually, I suppose we could probably... No. I couldn't ask you to break the Lord's commandments on my behalf. I'd never be able to live with myself. You know, you'd probably be going to hell and all that. The guilt. No. I better, you know, it's hard to do what the Lord commands, but I'd better do it. I'm leaving, I'm on my way. I gotta go. I'll be really fast. I'll go dedicate my house and then walk the 2 week journey back to this one day battle, and get there in time. I promise. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And so that one's even easy. This is where, like, the second round of people who were like had a little too much pride to go right away. But then, you know, after the second time that they gave him an out, they were like, "Well, man, now that you mention it." I totally dedicated my house. That's all. That's done. Because I knew, like, I don't want to, you know, not be in the battle because of that. But I did plant a vineyard, and I don't think I ate of it. No, I didn't eat of it. No, I'm almost positive. No, yeah, I had no. See, because I had grapes, but they were my friend's grapes. And I know I had not. Oh man, that means I have to go too. Oh gosh, wow, the tough rules. Oh my. Well, sorry, guy. I guess I'm out of here. I'm sorry. Gotta go. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And this one, I don't think anybody got up. This was exactly no men. The answer to your question of what men hath not taken their wife is no, none. Unless battle was declared right, like when they got married. No, I don't even think that would work. It would have to be men back then. They would not marry a girl and then not have sex with her. There's just no way. With all the, like, rules about it, like, all... They must just be waiting around till the first minute they can marry somebody and be like, oh, okay, finally. But maybe if everyone was going off to battle, like, 2 hours before the wedding was scheduled, and then, like, still the guy was like, oh, okay, we can do it. Let's get married. Let's get married really fast. And then... Like, he sort of forced the ceremony through and was just about done, but then, like, 16 soldiers came and, like, man, no, we gotta go, man. We can't wait anymore. We gotta go. Maybe then. But actually, this is probably where, like, all the closeted gay Israelites were like, oh, sweet, there's my ticket. Yeah, definitely did. they had been telling their wives, like, no, we'll totally do it. I just, you know, it's not right. The timing's bad. I just need to some time to. They were all fine, so they got out. And if it will make wait, no, that's I skipped ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, "What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." And this one was just a trick. Like, the first guy to, like, get up is just took it, like, speared right away. Like, ha! Gotcha. Anybody else too faint-hearted? "And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace, and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it." And I love how their minds work, these Israelites, because, like, yeah, if they make an answer of peace, so an answer of peace means agreeing to pretty much be slaves to the Israelites. That's an answer of peace when the Israelites come by, stomp by, like, in battle gear to your country. You're like, "Are you going to give us an answer of peace?" It's like, "So peace means we're your slaves, pretty much." "Yeah. Well, then probably not. Probably not going to make an answer of peace." So, like, so that way if they say they don't want to be slaves, then you can say, like, "Oh, well, they asked for it. Man, they would not accept our peace offering. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of these nations." Wow, I guess someone dropped the ball on that one then, because shouldn't that be every city? Like, shouldn't the Israelites pretty much own the world by now? Like, everybody else is tributaries to them. Somewhere along the line, someone probably forgot about that little commandment, I guess. But of there it is. Even on the most, like, exciting reading I've ever had. Still yawning. "But of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them. Namely, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee." I bet the Jebusites totally thought they were off the hook until Moses, he's like, "The Hivites." Yep. And then, like, they're like, "Oh, thank God." And then Moses looks down his clipboard and says, "Oh, there's another page. And the Jebusites." It's like, "Oh, whoops. Wow. We almost might not have completely wiped their society from the face of the planet." Could you imagine? Oh, no. Yeah. The Jebusites are all going to die. Definitely. They're on the list. Almost forgot them. Wow. Oh, you rascals, you almost survived. where was I? That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. So, the rationale behind killing everyone. Don't mind me. Oh, the rationale behind killing everyone is that if you don't kill them all, they'll start making you worship their gods. It's like, if I were one of those people, I'd be like, "Well, I'll agree to just not do that, and you don't kill me. How about that? That's another option to look at, in the decision-making process. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them. and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is a man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee, until it be subdued. So, yeah, this is less of a commandment and more of just like good battle tip. You know, it's like a good battle tip. Just don't cut down fruit. This is what God's putting in his infinite book here, his timeless book. When you're besieging a city, don't cut down the fruit trees because they might have fruit on them. You could eat it. Instead, make your instruments of death out of other non-fruit-bearing trees. Everyone's like, wow, God is so wise. Back then, that must have been pretty, like, you know, that was a pretty amazing thought, you know, pretty original, brilliant thought. Everyone, Moses probably thought of that and was like, oh, that is such a good idea. I'm going to say God did that. Oh, yeah. I'll tell them God commands that, and they'll be blown away by my wisdom. So yeah, that's ridiculous. So,
I'm really sorry. I cannot stop. I keep trying to hold it back.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Come on. Drink some water. You can do it. Chapter 21. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, nor here nor there, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord, and by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Yeah, interesting. I love it. Now they're talking about like innocent blood. Like that's such a thing to them. Like there's even a concept of that with them. They just go and just destroy entire cities full of people. And they're like, well, don't let innocent blood be on our hands when we find a dead guy in the middle of the field. Like they're really concerned that be not be their fault, but they're okay with killing, you know, thousands. That would be the Israelites for you. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldst have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. And she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and she shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. Okay, and it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. This is all fantastic stuff. So if you see a slave from a civilization that you just murdered, whom you want to have sex with, then you take her to your house and you shave her head for some reason, because that's just what you do. I don't know. And then you can have sex with her for a month, I think, or something. Or she has to mourn, because you've already murdered her parents. So she gets to mourn her parents for a month. You give her, yeah, give her a month. You've murdered everybody she knows and her whole family. Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, no, give her a month. That's fine. Wait, she can have a month. Give her a month and then have sex with her, I guess, and then marry her or not, you know, or not. You know, if not, then no big. Just sort of toss her back, you know, into the sea. If a man have two wives, that's already started off great. I already love it. This is in the Bible, and it says, if a man have two wives, like, because it happens all the time. If a man has two wives, this is so good. I'm really reading from the Bible. This is not like a Monty Python version of it. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the first, but this was a common enough occurrence that like God felt like he needed to write it down. Like, oh man, I constantly, you know, men are having two wives, one of whom he hates and the other one he likes, and it's like, oh, I'm sick of them. You know, well, I'll read on. If the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. So it's, you know, he's saying like, even if you hate this, your other wife, like, oh, freaking other wife, if your firstborn son was with her, then that's who the inheritance goes to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Which, again, I guess happened enough for God to write it in his eternal perfect book. So good. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. It's just so good. Just never disappoints. I take it back. This book quite frequently disappoints just by being incredibly repetitive and boring. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. It's like, wait, so you say that no matter what? Even what if he's not a glutton or a drunkard? What if he's just like an asshole, you know, and he can't? Because you know, it's just talking about if your son's disobedient. It's just sort of weirdly specific instructions, if you ask me. Like, you have to say, like, he's a glutton and a drunkard. It's got to be awkward those couple times where the son isn't actually any of those things, and then, you know, the parents like, he's a glutton and a drunkard. And the son's like, well, I know I'm kind of an asshole and I don't really listen to you guys, but I'm not, I don't drink at all. And look at me. I weigh less than you. I'm like 130. I'm wasting away and I'm a glutton and a drunkard. The mom's like, I'm just reading what it says to tell on the script. I have no power over this. I'm just reading. Look, it says to say he is a glutton and a drunkard. So that's what I'm going to do. All right. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. Oh, okay. Well, that got quite a bit less funny, but so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Okay, so I guess that's, I mean, I was joking earlier, but now it's, you know, took a somber turn there. So, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be, that's interesting, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Okay, again, another thing that I guess, happen often enough where God was like, yeah, you know, I better write something about that, because lots of people are getting hanged and they just are there all night. It's like, it's bad cleanup. Deuteronomy 22. And we're just getting started, I think. I'm pretty sure it just gets better from here. It's already pretty awesome. Thou shalt not... If thou hast two wives, one of which is liked and the other one is hated. So good. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again to thy brother. That's right off the bat. It's already funny. I love the wording. Like, don't hide thyself from them. There's my brother's ox. Oh man, this is awkward. is he looking over here? The ox? No, the ox right there. Is he looking at? Ooh, turn around. Is he looking at me? Did he see me? Yeah. Oh, this is awkward. We used to date, but you know how it sometimes just doesn't. You know, we want a different species. Just one of those times, you know. But I don't want him to see me because I don't. You know, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready for that. I'm hiding myself from him. It's like I love that extra wording of hide thyself from him. Like, how about like just not do anything? Do you need? Are they afraid that the ox or the sheep is going to see him and be like, "Hey, I'm lost and you're not helping me. I'm telling." And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. Wow, that gets even more awkward. Now I can see why you'd want to hide yourself, you know, when you've had a sketchy relationship with an ox, you know. It's like, oh, don't let him see me, because if he sees me, I'm pretty sure the rules say that I have to take him home. Oh my gosh. I cannot do that right now. We'll just, you know, I'll be honest. There's still some chemistry there. I'm not sure I can't take him home. I can't take that ox home. It's too, I don't trust myself. I just don't. I thought I was over, you know, and then seeing him here today, it's just weird. Just feelings and just, you understand. I don't know who I'm talking to in this scene, but anyway, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass nor his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Yeah, the ox is like, the ox falls over and you're like hiding and it's like, little help. And I noticed, can't help but notice, I fell and you sort of just hid, you know. I'm just wondering, rather than do that, can you find a rope or something, just pull me, you know, just take a minute of your time. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's so good. This is just rapid fire right now, this Bible. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Now, I love this one because what does that mean? Like, how do you know what pertaineth unto a man? Isn't that just sort of a thing we decided someday? It's not really like an absolute. How do you really say like, no, pants are only worn by a man? Well, why? Because that's what we said. It's like, well, I wonder, maybe back then it was actually all completely swapped. Like, what if men wore dresses and women wore like jeans or like tank tops or something, like manly, you know, like wife beaters? You know, like what if that's how it was, but gradually over time we sort of swapped, you know, like the poles, and I was going to make a really weird joke. Like, never mind. I'm not even going to do it. It's too turned. For some reason I associated like the swapping of the North and South pole with that. And I was going to say like, yeah, I'm sure they could go back in the record, in the volcanic of, you know, rock and magma and find out which way the men's clothes, you know, froze at the time that that's why I wasn't going to make the joke. Why'd you ask me about it? I said I wasn't going to make the joke, so I didn't make the joke. Can I move on? Thank you. I already read that. I'm almost going to read it again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. that pertains to me. You may not wear that. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in a way in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. This is so good. This is the weirdest thing. Now it's clear that Moses, I think he knows he's almost done being like the only prophet of God. He's like, he's really old at this point, and he's like, he's just rattling off a bunch of crap off the top of his head, like last minute, you know, like, oh, is there anything else I can think of? And he like sees a bird's nest and is like, whenever you see a bird's nest, I'm like, what, really? This is what you want to put in your book? It's, how did he get from transvestites to this? Like, what's the segue there? But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. So, it's not for the bird, it's for you to live longer, somehow. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. What? So good, it's just rapid fire, like, where is he... People, if they were listening to this, were just like, why is he thinking of all these things? It's a lot of odd, specific commandments, like building codes now. Like, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seed, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Okay. Don't really know what that means. It's diverse, except without an E. So it looks like divers. With divers seed, but I get, based on the usage, it's just diverse without an E. I don't know why. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Zing again. This is like the Moses Greatest Hits album. It's so stupid and arbitrary. It's just bang, bang, just like dumb, 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 stupid, pointless, rapid fire. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together, because it just looks, it's awful. You think you can pull it off, you can't. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. If any man take a wife, and go in unto her, and hate her. Okay, that's verse 13, so go on. This only describes about 98% of my male friends, so whatever comes next will probably be pretty relevant to most people in our high divorce rate, you know, country. And give occasions of speech against her, yeah, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Wait, what? Okay, so you can't just not like her. She has to not be a virgin, I guess. I don't know why. Why did you start with, like, you don't like her, and then it said, like, and it continues on and says she wasn't a virgin? Well, again, I guess that would still probably apply to most people in this country, really. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city and the gate. Okay. My first thought was, like, what the hell tokens are you going to bring of the damsel's virginity, like? Like, this virgin has papers, damn it. But then they always think of something. And in this case, in the notes, it says that the parents would keep the sheet that the daughter first had sex in, which is apparently an infallible indicator of whether or not someone was a virgin. such a great time. You know, we really want to just take everything from this time, all the wisdom, just soak it in and live by it. Just was just a peak in human thought. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city, hold on. Couldn't they just have saved the sheet from whenever she had sex the first time to, like, bust it out in this situation? You know, or just make a bloody sheet for that matter. Like, this isn't like CSI, you know, Las Vegas, you know, level crime, criminal masterminding. Like, I'm pretty sure even these idiots would have thought of that, but somehow that's like a, that's once again, just an infallible proof. And the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought, I remember that Steve Martin movie, Father of the Damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. Oh, lucky girl, you get to marry that guy who apparently tried to, like, falsely accuse you of being a virgin. Well, I suppose it was worth a try, you know, like, you never know if the parents, like, lost that particular sheet or the maid washed it or something. You might as well, that'll pretty much be the end of the world, you know, if you're that girl. So anyway, I guess if you were a guy, you had every incentive to say that. Just maybe you'd get like a freebie. Like you'd get like, oh, okay, that was a freebie wife to get to have sex with. Then you get to move on to another one. I'm guessing that's why these rules, you know, there's a reason that they put these rules in here. God had a reason. God, hey, I'm not going to argue with God. Okay, where was I? But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Yeah. Yeah. There's not much you can say in times like these. So, keeping in mind how terrible the judicial system was back then, and what these kind of people required for proof, and how disciplined their scientific thought was, I can imagine that there were a lot of people who were wrongly accused. And I say wrongly accused like there's actually a crime you could be rightly accused of in this case, which obviously there's not, you know, like there's no, this is just entirely religious invention. There's no real substance to any of this. Like, I don't even know what to say. It's just so horrible. It's so bad. I've read that passage before. That's a pretty famous, you know, example of just how stupid and sexist the Bible is. If a man be found, God, ladies and gentlemen, his one and only book. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so thou shalt put away evil from Israel, because that's evil. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed to an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. So she didn't actually make a sound. If a betrothed damsel cries in the field, and there's no one to hear it, if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, this is getting confusing now, I keep track of all these little if-thens. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. End of chapter. Okay, right when I thought I knew where I stood, in this chapter. It's just like Moses goes out with a quick lightning, like 1-2 punch. A man shall not take his father's wife. Okay, I guess, sure. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But nor discover his father's skirt. That's the part I'm more confused about, I think, more than the first part. Discover his father's skirt. I think they already covered that in the transvestite laws, but I guess maybe this is like one of those, like, look, we know this is against the law, but if you're going to do it, then don't let your son discover your skirt, because it's just going to screw him up. And it's just, if you have to do it, just keep it to yourself. I think that's what that is. All right, chapter 23. Whew, moving right along. This is a long one. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Is anybody hearing this? Am I the only one that, like, has ever read this stupid book? It's so good. First of all, today's reading, I'll just say, today's reading really is an embarrassment of riches, of just stupidity. Like, if you're looking for, like, dumb things that are in the Bible, I feel bad for how amazing this is. It's too good. He that is wounded in the stones. The first 19 times I read that, I thought it just meant, like someone, I just assumed, my brain just did the math for some reason. We've been talking so much about stonings. I thought it meant, like, someone that got wounded in a stoning but survived or something like that, I guess. That's what my mind went to. And I saw the part about the privy member. It's like, it actually does mean he that is wounded in the stones is in the balls. Like, they even had, like, euphemisms for it back then. And then the best one of all, hath his privy member cut off. That's so awesome. That's not even mentioned. That's my new phrase for anything penis related, privy member. That is the best possible. Privy member. I don't know why it's what exactly is it privy to? I don't know. But it's privy member. Anyone like that shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, apparently. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So if you ever see somebody like, you bastard, you may not enter this congregation. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's quite a few generations. Who's even going to be around to keep track of that? Like, is somebody really going to be like, all right, I'm like, you know, 100 years from now, someone, you know, goes in and is like, I think we're allowed. I'm pretty sure I'm allowed in here now. Okay, let me see your paperwork. Yeah, I think you'll find that's all in order. It's like, you're not a bastard child, are you? No, I have two fathers and three mothers. And like, okay, wait a minute. This name's ringing a bell. Let me go check. It's like, oh, you guys are only on your fourth generation. You know, you have another six generations to go before you're allowed in here. Come back, you know, 200 years from now, whatever the hell, six generations. That's a lot. Six generations. I guess if everybody just, like, gets married at 16 and dies at 25, then it's not as many. But still, like, nowadays, that's a long time. It's a long time to be banned from a shitty church that you don't even want to be in to begin with. maybe that would just be me. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the wet. Oh, I skipped something. I'm sorry. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Forever. Is that the same thing? Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way. That's expecting a lot, I guess. When you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. I'd argue maybe just next draft, Moses, just stick with the second one. Because the first one, you sound kind of bitchy. You're like, they are not allowed in my church. Why? What did they do? They did not meet us. They didn't have bread and water waiting, which I require. Everybody knows that about me. I require bread and water when I come into a city. And then also they hired some guy to come kill us. But it's really the bread thing. Like, I just go ahead and cut, cut that part and just stick with it. Hired some guy to kill you. That's fine. Just go with that. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter in the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chanceth him by night, then he shall go abroad out of the camp, and he shall not come within the camp. Okay. Uncleanliness that chanceth him by night. Just take a few guesses on that one. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. That's fine. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Okay. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go for abroad. Thou shalt go forth abroad. What? And thou shalt have a paddle on thy weapon. And it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, that thou shalt dig therewith, and thou shalt turn... Thou shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. What the hell is he talking about? I don't even... Is Moses just getting senile, just like saying words? People are like, okay, Moses, yeah, we'll get... They've been trying to get him to wrap this thing up since like commandment like 32. And that was 2 weeks ago. And he's like, wait. You need to have a paddle. Did I say this? No. You need to have a paddle on your weapon, and when you leave, then you dig, and turn around. It's because there's men. People are like, okay, we'll do that, Moses. We're gonna do that. We'll figure it out. I'm not totally sure what you mean, but we'll work on it. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. I don't know. Who cares? Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. That's nice, I guess. He shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates where it is liketh him best, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. That's fine. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. Notice that it's not the whore equivalent for men. Like, it's like, men, you may be whores, but there shall be no whore among the daughters. But if you're gay, man, that's, ugh. Better to be a whore than gay, apparently. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog unto the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. Don't know what that means. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. The price of a dog is an abomination. Who knows? I don't know, guys. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. My brain just did a little backflip there. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. Yep, you covered that. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settlest thy hand into the land whither thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Oh, that's the end. It would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When thou comest unto thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. And when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Sitting corn only. All right, that's the end of that. chapter sort of fizzled out, just said a bunch of weird things I didn't really understand, didn't feel like looking up. Because who cares, really? I'm just trying to power through when Moses dies already. Oh, my gosh. I'm sick of this guy. Although, he really has made my day with this last bit. So chapter 24, last chapter of the night. When a man hath taken a wife. When a man hath taken a wife. And married her. And it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement. Give her a little bill. It says, like, you owe me like $20 for this marriage. And give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Huh, I guess she's exempt from the virginity laws, I suppose, or something. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be an... Oh, I... Sorry, read that. And if the latter husband hate her, well, then she asked for it. It's really her damn fault. And write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. How do you even think of this stuff? So, do I need to explain that? I pause for a reply. If you marry somebody, divorce them, and they go marry someone else, divorce them, you can't remarry them? Like, how often, really, God, how often did this, whatever. No man shall take the nether or upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. Okay. What? I had to, I really had to read and find what this one is about, because, like, what the F is he talking about? Seriously, I think at this point, Moses was just looking around for things that he saw. Just looking around and just making up laws about them. Do we really think God would put in his eternal, but infinite, wise God, all-knowing, all-seeing God, would put in his eternal book something that is completely dated and is common sense anyway? The passage is just saying, if you own a mill or some crap, you can't pledge the rock away, because that would mean you couldn't make bread anymore. That's seriously what he just said. Really? That's okay. Like, I'm guessing if a person owns a mill and they're willing to pledge away the rock of the mill, that they're more worried about what they, like, I don't know, if they owe money to the mafia and they have to, like, give, like, here, take this rock. But in that case, I'm sure whatever it is that they're giving the rock to avoid is worse than not having the rock. Otherwise, why would they be doing it? Like, it's not like people are just like, oh, let me give you my only source of food and income for, what? Like a book. I don't know. What? Like something. I don't know. I can't name a possession of that time that you would want. Like, give me those vintage pogs and, I'll give you my rock. And then somebody intervenes, is like, hey, I don't know. Have you read that verse in the Bible about not giving people your rock that you make bread with? Like, damn it. Moses, you've done it again. That's enough on that. It's so stupid. Really, God did this. God wrote this book. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Take heed, in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently, and do according to all that the priests and the Levites shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam, by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. And that was just some, remember, Miriam got leprosy for something, like, put her out of the camp. Who cares? when thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if a man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. Because everybody loves raiment. And it shall be righteousness unto thee before the... I promise you I did not write that joke down. So, like, I mean, I know that's bad. Just saying it was bad. But I didn't... Just before you delete me from your entire podcast library, I didn't prepare that joke. I just thought of that just as I was reading it. So let me just clear the air there. Like, yes, I said everybody loves Raymond. I said it. I'll live up to it. But I didn't prepare it. It wasn't on a little cue card like, oh, that's a great joke. Say that. Like, it just came to my mind, so I said it. So stop deleting me right now, okay? I really didn't mean anything by it. It just came to my mind. Just relax. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy. Oppress the rich and non-needy servants instead, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and settleth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. That's funny on a few levels. First of all, is this the same Lord who kept saying he'll punish the iniquities of the fathers unto the fifth and sixth generations? Is this the same Lord who said that? Because that sounds like you're softening up a little bit. And I don't think this is the same one. Also, so much for original sin, because it's saying we're all going to be put to death for our own sin. Well, what? Because there's that whole original sin thing, which I thought we were all doomed for. And then, finally, what was my last thought? I just love the wording of, like, look, don't put the fathers to death for the children, and don't put children to death for the sake of the father. Look, everyone can be put to death for their own sin. That's good enough. like, I love the cheery note. Like, every man can be put to death for his own sin. You don't need to. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of a stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. This is probably the best thing that is really, this is Moses' best note that he's had. And maybe that's why it's toward the end. Like, he's like, okay, I thought of one good thing, which is if you own a farm, then leave a little bit of fruit for people who don't have any food. Like, that's really the only good thought I've ever come up with. So I'll put it toward the end. Just go out on a good note, you know. Then again, like, what if you're a starving farmer and you need all your food? I don't know. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Whew. And we just did that thing. That's it. That's the end. That was pretty incredible stuff, I gotta say. That was one of my favorite ones yet. So thanks, guys, and please continue to review my podcast. And the site is back up, and I apologize for it being down and undownloadable, and I really hope that I didn't lose subscribers or anything from that. And there'll be a lawsuit on whoever hacked my site or did whatever. So, yeah. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you next time. Bye.